The Gary Sharp Show. Mailbag presented by Oscar's Pizza and Sports Grill. Home of the Big O Pizza and Char Buffed Wings.
Right, halfway through the week, the band is on the field in a torrential downpour here in Omaha. Weather, though, is going to be nice on Saturday. Good Halloween weekend. Some people were a little mixed on my adult trick-or-treating. Some are like, this is a great idea. They have adult proms. I think later in life, you should be able to experience something you had as a youngster that is not creepy.
Adult prom could get creepy very quickly, so I'm glad you prefaced it with that. But yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm pro getting candy, like, but I can just go do that at will.
Well, yeah, but there's the thrill of hearkening back to your youth,
the randomness of what kind of candy am I going to get at this person's house?
Go back, just think about all the kids you were trick-or-treating with when you were 8 years old. What if, 40 years later, you put them back together? Everybody got together, and they ran the same neighborhood, and we all... I think when I was eight, there was a kid named David Lemke. He was about 4 years older. He, the whole ding-dong door ditch him.
Mm-hmm.
He went up and knocked on a door, and then we all sprinted away. I just remember running through the Chandler's backyard. Yeah, we could do that with all of us that, we're eight hanging out. Now we're a little bit older. Somebody pulls a hamstring.
Yeah, a little slower nowadays.
I mean, I don't think the costumes would fit. I don't think my Stormtrooper outfit would fit, or Chewbacca.
They make them for adults now.
They do, and they have conventions.
Yes, they do.
They also have what I'm saying. People are going, why don't you just go to Key West for Fantasy Fest? It's usually about this time of the year. Halloween, by the way, in Key West is on a whole different planet.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. There's a lot of tricks that are going on there. And they result in a lot of treating. All right, time for the mailbag, brought to you by Oscar's Pizza and Grill. Two fantastic locations. Stopped there the other day. Charbuff Wings. Yeah.
Had some over the weekend.
They are the gold standard. 173rd in Center. That is dine in, take out, and then take out only. 162nd in Maple. We do this every Wednesday. And again, a big thanks to our friends at Oscar's, who love seeing all of you during the football weekends or after games. I was told Friday nights have become very, very popular after the local high school games.
Okay, sure, yeah.
Also glad to see that the weather's going to be good this weekend for Friday night football in the first round of the playoffs. We talked about it yesterday. Mike Sauter was on the show. So Oscars, they're two great locations. If you have the best submission into the mailbag, Josh will select you and you will win a gift card. It's not just like a $5 gift card. This is a really good gift card.
No, it's not like a free iced tea with the purchase of $100 worth of stuff. This is real money we're talking here.
Yes, it is. You will be able to take care of yourself and maybe a guest or two at Oscars. All you have to do is submit a question. Now it's past time. We've closed the mailbox. JOdson@nrgmedia.com. Anything goes. We usually have no idea where this is going to go. We apologize if you're tuning in and this is the only time during the week you have a chance to listen. We will get back to some sports. There is kind of some sports in this.
There's a lot of sports questions in
okay,
the mailbag today.
There we go. We'll make Ed, who gets upset every Wednesday, that we take time out of our 20 hours of sports talk and we do this segment. Ed, though, did say he likes Oscars. So I guess it's kind of a win-win.
Okay.
Or a win-lose.
That's better than a lose-lose.
All right. Time for the mailbag.
First question. Let's just get this out of the way.
Oh,
it's up on a tee for you. I've heard it a lot over the last 24 hours. Let's just do it and get it over with.
Now I'm scared.
Is a 30-year-old Bubba Starling the best option Nebraska can get at quarterback?
Okay.
It ain't going to happen.
See, I don't think I have the answer. So Brandon Whedon,
yep, Drew Henson. That name is mentioned in the email, yes.
So Bubba is very much at peace with his athletic career. And his body has taken a beating over the last few years. And his body told him that it's time to do something different. I know it wasn't an easy decision, but I think over the last couple of years, and then, you know, you go to the Olympics and you get a silver medal. It's kind of like, that's a great way to end my career. So it is not going to happen. But it was good to think about for, you know, an hour or two.
We move on.
What if he did, though, say, hey, Scott, can I?
Can I?
How long would it take him? I mean, we're a decade since he last played football. Yeah. He got to the majors.
Yeah.
And he'll retire back into the Kansas City area and probably, you know, be involved in his community and sports, maybe football and basketball. Maybe the Royals will, use him. Everybody knew Bubba. Just didn't work out.
Silver medal's a nice bow on any career, though.
And he got paid. And he made it to the major leagues.
Yeah.
And he spent a lot of time here in Omaha playing for the Storm Chasers. I still probably missed out an opportunity to do a half Husker, half Storm Chaser bobblehead.
Missed opportunity there.
Or you do a Bubba Starling bobblehead, and in one arm he's holding a football helmet, and the other he's got his glove on.
Yeah. I'm sure somebody, there's an artist rendering on Marty's computer there in the office.
You could have him wearing a Storm Chaser jersey, and then the pants have the familiar Nebraska football stripes on the side.
Maybe a corn cob coming out of the pocket. Because there's certain trademark issues we're dancing around here.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Now I understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not that you would play sports with a corn cob in your pocket. Some people were, from what I heard, but that's neither here nor there.
I still think my idea of a bobblehead of the five-tool player and the player to be named later is the great ideas of bobbleheads that I can't convince anybody to do. One, they're a little expensive. But the five-tool bobblehead that I wanted to do had like a little pocket knife. It had a screwdriver. It had five tools, and that was the bobblehead. And then the bobblehead to be named later is over a five giveaway stretch. You come and you get a certain piece of the bobblehead that you actually put together. It is bobblehead to be named later. And so one week you would come and you might get the head.
Uh-huh.
The next you'd get the body. Then you'd get an arm and you'd get another arm. And then you would come back and the last part of it would be the bottom of the bobblehead. And then on the base that you put it on.
That's actually very smart because you'd get them to go to five games. There would be a certain, not everyone. Most people are going to go, why'd you give me this guy's arm? Why did I just get an arm?
Sell the bobblehead package.
But yeah.
I don't know why more of the, either Creighton, Omaha, or Nebraska don't do bobblehead giveaways. The Doug McDermott bobblehead giveaway was a home run. But that hasn't happened. You know what? If Nebraska wanted to do this and they have enough partners that would put the bill, why doesn't Nebraska do a next year a season-long bobblehead giveaway of the greats?
Okay.
You know, Omaha Hockey's celebrating their 25th season. I'm surprised they didn't do like a bobblehead of the great. I mean, give me a Derek Reynolds bobblehead.
People would go for it. People like bobbleheads.
The Doug McDermott bobblehead, I mean, that was on eBay immediately. There were people lined up well before the doors opened. It's a cool bobblehead. Mm-hmm. I don't know that anybody's really done one since as a giveaway. I mean, do you say, well, it's just college, we don't do giveaways. Well, you know what? You're college and there's a lot of empty seats.
Yeah. You want people in this building or not?
Yeah.
You got to spend money to make money. I got my Ryan Broherne Storm Chasers bobblehead. Could I tell you one thing about that player? No, I couldn't. But it's a neat looking bobblehead.
See, when we get to a point of our relationship that I let you come to my house, you will see in my kitchen, above all the cabinets, I have my collection of, I think I'm up to about 200 bobbleheads. I have about 100 of them displayed.
Okay.
Yeah. I've told this story on air before, but not to you. When I was in Wheeling working in professional hockey, Jim Brooks got married. And if you went to his wedding, you got a parting gift to remember the wedding. A bobblehead of him and his wife.
Oh, that's fun.
I thought it was awful odd at the time.
Oh, it would be odd.
I get, you know, there's a great birthday gift is a bobblehead of somebody. And just doing it for your personal benefit to have a bobblehead of you and your wife. But he gave it to people as you were leaving the reception. Like, don't forget to stop by and pick up your Brooks bobblehead. And all of us that worked in the front office, we were together and we kind of looked at each other. And we looked at the bobblehead. And I'm like, oh, that's creepy because that really looks like Jim.
One of the new guys in the cluster over next door here, he's got his own bobblehead.
Really?
Yeah.
You know you've made it when you have your own bobblehead.
Exactly.
We're gonna have our own beer. He'll have his own bobblehead.
Yeah.
Did I say that?
I don't know.
Did I go Carson Palmer there? Uh-oh, I thought you guys knew that.
No. Next question comes from Chris. Given the salaries for top college coaches, and they continue to rise, at what level of salary do you think Nebraska is willing to go to? And then he sends this very convenient table. A lot of data in this table. It's got Frost at 17th in the country, 5 mil. Utah's head coach is getting more. Mark Stoops is getting more. Mel Tucker's getting more. How high do you think they're willing to go? Another million, and they'd be in the top 10.
I think 5 million is about the ceiling for what Nebraska football will pay for a head coach.
Do you think they pay Scott more if 5 years down the road they're winning?
Is there an appearance in a playoff in those 5 years?
No, but you're flirting with it.
So you've won a conference title, or you've won in a span of 5 years three division titles? Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. But so here's a follow-up question to that I ask you and everybody else. So Fred Hoiberg is able to make the kind of money that he's making because Scott Frost makes $5 million. The basketball coach in Nebraska hasn't always made a lot of money. It's been one of the lower salaries in the Big Ten. But once you, and actually Nebraska football has been middle of the pack in terms of the salary for the head coach. But when you go there and you pay a head coach 7 years, $35 million, so you're paying him $5 million a year, that raises what you pay for a men's basketball coach because you're willing to go there for $5 million. So the next coach in both of those sports at Nebraska, will they make more or will they make less than $5 or $3 million? And what is more likely to happen? A football coach at Nebraska make a head football coach make more than $5 million, or Nebraska to have their first $1 million coordinator? I think Eric Chenander is at eight. He's in the 800s.
I'd rather see that.
I mean, you went from a $1 million athletic director. I mean, last two athletic directors have been $1 million guys to Trev, who for strategic reasons and just thinking about his needs is not $1 million athletic director. I still can't believe that they paid Sean Eichhorst $1 million.
Sean was probably surprised as well.
Sean was on his knees thanking Nebraska to pull him out of Miami. I mean, when Eichhorst got hired, he was one of the highest paid athletic directors in all of college athletics. Got a good agent.
Moving on, Brian emails us this question. What happens first? Robo umps calling balls and strikes, or a chip in the football to determine the spot?
Oh my gosh, can we have a chip in the football, please? I don't think robo umps are as close to major leagues as some might want and think. Because before that ever happens, I think they've got to try them out in AAA to see how it's going to work. And you're still going to need umpires. You're going to still need a home plate umpire. You're going to still need three guys on the bases, guys or gals. But why can't we put a chip in the football to properly spot it? With all the technology, doesn't that seem like it should be being worked on right now in a lab in New Mexico?
Yeah, I mean, you put a chip in the football, you put chips in the yardsticks, the chain, whatever you want to call it.
Sync them up.
Yep. Shouldn't be this hard.
I mean, now we're getting away from, you know, and I love the volunteers on the chain gang now in college and the NFL to get paid, but it's so rare now to bring out the chain gang. Heck, you don't even have the down markers at a lot of places where you just flip. They're electronic.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they show you first down, and then it'll show how many yards it is.
We get excited doing an Iowa Western game when the digital chains are there. We're like, oh, okay, big game. They actually did measure in the Iowa Western game this weekend, which, A, we celebrated just on its own merit, and then they got out there and they didn't know how to do it because they measure so infrequently. A little embarrassing.
It is one of the more exciting plays in football. Mm-hmm. When they pull the chains.
Always.
Especially if it's close.
Even if you know. Like, I know.
Nowadays, everybody is so quick to say first down. Mm-hmm. You get the side judge or the line judge walks in, and they're like waving the chain gang to move down. Or the ref just runs up, he eyeballs it, and he says, first down. I think a chip in a football would be... And you could, you know what you could do with it? You could use spring football in college football to work out the kinks.
Sure.
Have every school, they get these new footballs mm-hmm. that have the chips and the technology, and they use them during the spring. And
you practice while they practice.
You can use them in your spring game. You can use them in your regular practice. And then you give the feedback, and you have the whole summer to make some tweaks to it. And then in the fall, you have that problem taken care of because there are too many games right now where we have spotting questions. And it is really unless you have fantastic cameras, when you go to replay and somebody challenges the spot, are how many times is it being overturned?
Yeah.
It does happen, but it's very, very rare because you don't, you know, you're looking from afar. And that yellow line that's on your TV is not always the first down spot.
This next one's controversial. I don't know if you're ready for it. Gary mentioned this last week and it made me think. When is it okay to leave a game early as a fan?
Now, I preface this discussion. This is my this is my history. I grew up with a dad that is a sports fanatic, and I was very, very lucky when I was living at home that my dad liked to go to live sporting events. And so we would go to a lot of live sporting events, whether they be local, whether they be regional, whether they be national. I saw way too many bad junior college baseball games in the state of Iowa when I was a little kid, but that's beside the point. We would get there early. So for baseball, my dad had to go see batting practice. So yeah, what the heck? We'll go there. We're in the ballpark two hours beforehand. That's fine. I can run around. You know, I can go stand by the dugout, maybe get some autographs while my dad is watching batting practice. But we were, you always were, you get to the ballpark early. You don't want to be rushed. You want to be in your seat. You want to be able to stand for the national anthem. Mm-hmm. And then the first pitch or the kickoff or the opening tip or the faceoff, you're in your seats. You don't have to worry about it.
Yep. I subscribe to that theory.
And then we stay the entire game. Why? Because if we stay the entire game, we won't have to sit in traffic as long, which when you're that young, you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Then as you get older and you hate sitting in traffic, you're like, this is dumb. So I have maybe once or twice in my lifetime left the game early. This is where I would say you can, because what we're coming up on, basketball season around here, Creighton and Nebraska, the people that leave early, even in games that are still undecided, that are walking out, one of the worst looks at Pinnacle Bank Arena because of the way it's built and they funnel fans is at the end of a Nebraska game, even in a victory, the people that are leaving with about 5 minutes to go, it's TV can't, you know, TV's angle, you get behind where the radio and TV guys are and, you know, you got all the fans that are walking there. That's a horrible look. But it happens at Nebraska, it happens at Creighton, it happens at Omaha, too. Hockey games where, you know, it's a one-goal game and people are leaving. So here's what I would say. Here's where you can. Like, for example, games are getting later and later. Tonight, Nebraska volleyball starts at 8 o'clock at night.
I noticed that.
Sometimes you got kids that you want to bring, but you know that you got to get them to bed so they can go to school the next morning, or you got a babysitter, or you have an emergency, or maybe your Uber is ready and you don't want to wait for an Uber. Your house is on fire.
Oh. I mean, house is on fire. You getting there isn't going to hinder anything. Like, yeah. Call the fire department. Just sit there until the game's over. Your TV's on fire. You're not going to go home and watch the game.
Good point. So those are some of the reasons I would say it's okay to leave a game early. Now, sometimes you might be disgusted and you're angry at your team and they're playing poorly and you don't want to see it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, I'm done. I'm out. You can convince me that that's a valid reason.
I get it.
You know, in Los Angeles, people arrive late because of the traffic,
mm-hmm.
and then they leave early because they want to beat the traffic out of the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I know that, especially with football. There's some people that, like Nebraska football, will leave early because they want to get on the road and they don't want to, you know, drive back to Omaha. They don't want to be stuck on 80. I was just brought up where you stay the entire game, whether it's a good game or a bad game.
We chastise LA fans.
Hmm?
Let's not forget Miami fans as well.
Yeah.
Sometimes that American Airlines Arena or whatever the heck they call it now empties out a little early.
Yeah, and then it gets caught on camera, and then the heat come back, and people scramble to get back in, but the doors are locked. Yeah. Well, yeah, some places you have front-running communities.
That would be one of them?
Yes. Yes, it would. That was such a bad look. There was actually somebody that was caught on camera with his wife that I recognized.
Oh.
He is. He's since passed away, but he was a big car dealer in South Florida. Yeah, and he got fried for it. Like immediately on his social media, people were screenshotting and sending it to him. He did have fun. He did one of his commercials like the following fall was something about, you know, when you get on the lot, we won't let you leave.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Yeah. Glad we can have fun with ourselves.
Do you have other reasons that would say you could leave early?
I mean, the emailer suggested various emergencies, and I think an emergency is a different category.
Yeah. Don't even think about the game.
Sorry, honey, that you're having a heart attack. Sorry, you're having a baby. I just... Game. There's 7 minutes left. I can't leave. Gary and Josh said I can't leave. That's a different category. That doesn't count. That's an asterisk in this whole conversation.
I think the getting out of the parking lot is a big deal. I had this discussion 2 years ago, pre-full house COVID downtown at the Chai. sitting in the stands, and Creighton was it? I think it was, might have been Creighton and Providence. It was a close game, and the people next to us, after the last media timeout, got up to leave. And he was, you know, scooting by, and he said, we got to leave because we're in the parking garage. And he didn't want to be sitting in the parking garage for an hour after a Creighton game. I said, okay, I get it, but what happens if this game goes to overtime, double overtime, and it turns into the greatest game ever in the history of Creighton basketball? You're going to be kicking yourself. The people that left early when Jordan Westerkamp caught the pass from Ron Kellogg. And all your liars. You say, I was there. I'm like, no, you weren't. No, you weren't. Because people called you out. You were already up the stairs, and you were headed out of the stadium.
I was in the vicinity. I went to a Reds game to see Ken Griffey Jr. one time. 110-degree day. He's not in the starting lineup.
Ooh.
Game gets not out of hand, but we think it's decided. No Griffey. That's why we're here. It's 110 out. Let's go. They catch up. It goes extra innings. Griffey gets the game-winning hit in extra innings, and we missed it.
Oh.
Ah. That one hurts.
That's rough.
So I generally do not leave.
Now, another place where you see a mass exodus of people is spring training games. Like after the regulars have played,
yeah,
they're well-known, and you get to like the fifth or sixth inning, and then it's like number 95 is batting. You see a mass exodus there. But we're getting to that time of the season, basketball season in Lincoln and Omaha. People love to leave early. Like, I think people in Lincoln, they're just like, oh, they're leaving. Maybe we should as well. They don't stay for the entire game.
There is sort of that, oh, everyone's leaving now. Traffic's going to be bad. Okay, I got to go too.
Yes.
No, just sit there.
Yeah, this used to also tick off my mom, because not only would we go early, even when my dad wasn't working, we'd go to ball games early, like to be one of the first ones in the gate. I used to think it was, well, you know what? What if they're having a giveaway day? We can get, you know, the giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
But it was to, my dad always wanted to watch batting practice, and so did I. Because I would chase, you know, batting practice balls or get autographs. But then we did this after games. And God bless my dad. We would wait then by the players' cars and the opposing team bus after the game. I mean, we would wait until, like, the last person was out and the visiting bus was pulling away. Because my dad said, hey, you want to get some autographs? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'd stand in the line, you know, coming out of stadiums and going, hey, you know, along with 55 other people hollering to get autographs. Oh, yeah, that drove my mom nuts. Maybe that was in the divorce decree. I lost many days and months and year off my life by waiting with my son and his father after baseball games so they could get one autograph from two teams while we waited by their vehicles.
What's the worst traffic you've ever sat in after a game?
Actually, a place that's gotten better is Lot D after the College World Series games. Shout out OPD for improving that.
Yeah.
It actually might be Dodger Stadium. So Dodger Stadium, the way it's configured, and parking is like in a circle all the way around these giant lots. It just seems like they don't have a plan. And then the freeway gets backed up, and so it's not like when you leave Dodger Stadium, you immediately pull onto the freeway, depending on where you're going. Sometimes you're on not a residential road, but a commercial road, but traffic gets backed up. That's one of the worst places to try and get out of. You sit there for a while. So that's a good place to linger after games and hope that the traffic subsides. Arrowhead Stadium can be a pain.
I've had trouble there.
Depending on when you leave.
Yeah.
If you're trying to leave like right when the game ends and 80,000 people are walking out, yeah, you're going to sit in traffic.
Mm-hmm. WrestleMania, Miami. I think I sat in the parking lot for 3 hours and didn't move.
Was that at Hard Rock or?
Hard Rock.
Because you don't really have a lot of options on where you're going.
Yeah.
You get dumped out onto the turnpike. Yeah. Easy to get in, pain to get out.
Yeah.
The other place that is the worst place in America after a football game to get out of, it's not necessarily a parking lot because they don't really have a ton of designated parking lots. Did anybody else have a miserable experience ever trying to get out of Columbia? Trying to leave Columbia, Missouri after a football game. So there were times that I was lucky enough to fly with the team and you would get a police escort to the airport. And you would go on, like, the shoulder. Because traffic is miserable after football games at Mizzou. I wasn't even out of the city of Columbia. Like, not even to where you could get on 70. I bet I sat 1 year for 2 hours on whatever that loop is around Columbia.
I think my parents tell this story of going to a Nebraska game in Columbia. This must have been in the 80s. They finally get out, the nightmare of getting out, and then they're coming back home, and they got trapped in World Series traffic, because it was the I-80 series between the Royals and the Cardinals, and they got trapped in traffic again.
I mean, we all have a plan in Lincoln to time when you get to your car, like when traffic will be lighter. Still never fails. But for people that don't, I mean, like people that race out of the stadium, like who are you beating? You got 45,000 people are driving back to Omaha.
Gotta make good time.
But the lot D at the College World Series has gotten much better. That's a lot where you could sit in for a while. It'll be great when they add parking garages. Like, really? Seriously. What a miserable experience after a sporting event to sit in a parking garage. I'd love to park across the street from Memorial Stadium. And it was great when there was COVID and that's where I parked. Game is over. Boom. You get in your car. You don't even sit behind somebody getting to the bottom of the parking garage to get out. You're like, this is wonderful. It's not like a multi-level parking garage. It's not that bad to get out of. But after a game, sitting in a parking garage is a miserable experience.
Because you can't see. What are we doing? What's taking so long? I have no answers to the questions I know the answer
That's
to.
That's why there is a plan. You got to have a plan on where you park when you go to a sporting event. Might be your secret spot so you know to get there. And then you get in the car, you turn it on, and boom, you're on the freeway. And you're headed home.
Got to have an exit strategy.
Yes. We all have, that's the problem. We have an entrance strategy, Josh. How we're going to get to the game, where we're going to park, the shortcuts we're going to take.
Mm-hmm.
We very rarely have an exit strategy.
Yeah. Draft one up this weekend. We'll all compare notes.
Let's be honest. If you're going to a basketball game in Lincoln, there's only 15,000 people. Compared with 90,000 or 80,000 or 75,000, it's a lot easier to get out of the Rail Yard Haymarket area after a basketball game. Why do you have to leave so early? What do you think, it's going to warm up? While you're walking?
Stop by, have a beer somewhere.
See, that's why they built the rail yard.
Mm-hmm. Help with the traffic.
Yeah. Help with, even coaches who spend a little bit longer. I mean, they don't want to deal with traffic, so they come on over and they have a beer right there with you. I miss those days.
When a coach could have a beer in a bar with you?
After a Nebraska basketball game, you're sitting there, and here comes Tim Miles. You can sit there and have a beer with the coach.
Seems like a chatty bar fly.
He was usually pretty good in those situations.
Okay.
Yeah. I've not heard that Fred, pops over after a game.
Doesn't strike me as the type.
I mean, we'll never get to the point again where, Danny Nee had an exit strategy to hit berries. So... this is another part of the story. People know pretty much that Danny liked to go to Barry's after games. And his goal was to get done with his radio show and before Kent signed off to be in his car and either at Barry's or close enough. But Nick Joes, who was the, I guess you'd call him the director of basketball operations, assistant athletic director at the time. And now Nick, wonderful guy, great guy, went from Nebraska to Baylor to Mizzou, and now is at Iowa State. The story goes that he would have Nick pull up his car. So his car was right outside of the Devaney Center. So Danny, and it was running. And then Danny, when he got done with his radio show, would make his exit, and he would just hop in his car, and it was running, and then he could be at Barry's. He had an exit strategy. Now, the Devaney Center, post getting rid of State Fair Park and what it looks like now, used to be awful to get out of.
I remember hating still, that going down to high school basketball tournaments.
It still can be a little bit tough after volleyball, but it used to be miserable to get out of the parking lot of the Devaney Center.
Like, what are we doing? There's 200 people here. Why is this taking so long?
One, because most of the parking lot was gravel or mud.
Yeah. Remember that.
Roger chimes in real quick here. Attending a basketball game at Pinnacle Bank is an event. A few beers before and a few after. Getting downtown early before traffic is good. Waiting until the traffic clears after is also good. No traffic issues for me and a fun night. Should be even better this year with a decent team. Thank you, Roger. See, maybe more people will stay.
I like the positivity from Roger.
Yeah,
there.
Don't you think players recognize that? They see Nebraska and Creighton basketball players see people leaving early.
Oh, yeah. They know. This horn's going to sound, and everybody's going to get up.
In the Metrodome, when the Twins weren't good, Gary Gaetti and Ken Herbick have told this story before, is they would watch people leave from the Metrodome, and they would just point at them, and they would look at each other across the infield, and they would just drag their finger up like they were going up the row. See, players notice that. I mean, like, if you're a Nebraska basketball player, how can you not? Like, it's all coming right at you to the floor and people are walking out. Like, you're shooting a free throw with 3 minutes to go and you're up by six and there's a mass exodus. And you're like, what did I do? Yeah, I don't get that. That's a... I almost want them to funnel it where you have to go up and out instead of down and then out on the street level.
Probably would have been better in hindsight.
Yeah. Or you know what? Be better at basketball so people don't leave and they want to stay the entire game.
Also true.
Or do this. Wisconsin students show up late, but they stay later because of the fifth quarter. I think they still have that in Madison. Maybe that's what they should do in Lincoln and Omaha, is have the third half.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you got to entice them to stay.
Roll out a DJ. Yeah. Open up the taps in one place.
Can they do like a run the bases afterwards thing, but you like you're shooting you baskets afterwards?
You bring the students down on the floor and they can do a layup line?
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea.
It'd be great on dollar beer night.
That would be good. I like where you're thinking.
Thank you. Thank you. That's the mailbag.
That's a good week for a mailbag. Good luck to the winner of the Oscars gift card from Oscars Pizza and Grill. When we come back, more horrific stories of sitting in traffic. Oh, I have touched a nerve with Columbia, Missouri traffic. I have got some people that are saying, right on. Josh, it was awful. Because there's just one loop around Columbia.
And it's Missouri.
And most of the people going to the game there from Nebraska, so they're all going the same way to get out of there.
Yep.
They're all, get me to I-70 as soon as possible. Oh, it was just terrible.
It's a long drive for a whooping.
Wait a minute. For Nebraska fans?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to drive that long to watch your team win by 40 points?
Now, outside of Brad Smith destroying Nebraska, there weren't a lot of times where Nebraska went down to Columbia and took a whooping.
Oh, no, they were given it most of the time. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. Columbia was a good town. Columbia was a really, really good town.
Maybe that was the appeal. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm too young. I don't know.
You're a Big Ten guy. We're back with more of the Gary Sharp Show with Josh after this.